All right, David, the jury came back on Saturday night. I didn't find out about this Sunday morning. I went to bed early and didn't know about it. When did you find out that Zimmerman was found not guilty?
I was getting ready for bed on Saturday night, and I saw that the verdict was in, so I stayed up an extra 20 minutes or so to see what it was.
David, what was your reaction?
Honestly, I wasn't very surprised. It was kind of what I expected. I think what you're seeing with the outrage on the social media and things like that, are people that don't really understand our legal system. No matter where you stand on this issue, not guilty doesn't necessarily mean innocent. Not guilty means there was reasonable doubt in the case. And if you're really honest looking at this case, you have to say that there's reasonable doubt about what happened. We don't really know what happened that night because none of us were there, but there is definitely reasonable doubt on both sides on what this story really is.
David, why the outrage when blacks murder blacks all the time, everywhere?
I think we can pass the blame around to a lot of people. We can pass it to the media who want to create this this idea. I saw a very interesting picture that was going around the internet the other day, and we've got George Zimmerman who's half Latino and half white. And he's a white man. And he said, well, if we're going to go by that standard, then we can call Barack Obama a white man as well because he has a white parent and a black parent. And they just kind of ignore different parts of it so we can create this black-white conflict that's going on. Never mind that Zimmerman is not a Tea Party conservative. He's a liberal Democrat. And he doesn't fit the profile, and yet that's the profile that's been created. So we've got the angry, gun-toting white man and the innocent victim, black teenager. And I don't want to discount the tragedy of what it is of that young man being killed, but the story that's been put out is not exactly accurate.
There was a real effort to kind of create Zimmerman as this redneck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Second Amendment guy.
Right.
You know, one of those NRA guys. Yeah.
Who are a threat to us.
Yeah.
And needs to spend the rest of his life in jail.
Because he was obviously motivated solely by racism, and he murdered a young man in cold blood. That's the narrative that's been put out there.
And if you're not aware of that, or you haven't been paying much attention to it, then you almost feel like this is like another O.J. Simpson deal,
mm-hmm.
where you know he got over
right
on the system, and it's difficult for me to understand why African-American pastors are talking so much about this and so little, David, about that which is a real threat to the existence of the African-American population. The black on black and then male on male, mm-hmm. is just unbelievable.
Right.
Nobody even wants to talk about that. But the numbers are statistically over the top.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a black male and you're murdered, the greatest probability is another black male did it to you.
Yeah.
I mean, this is rare. This is the extreme exception. And then, David, just to take it a step further so that we can really identify the problems that the media is not talking about, is if you are an African-American baby, your mom is your greatest threat.
That's a pretty powerful statement, yeah.
There's a great probability that your mom is going to have you aborted.
Yeah, the numbers are pretty staggering in the black community.
Yeah, yeah, they're over the top,
mm-hmm.
in comparison to any other ethnicity on the planet.
Yeah, I think I've heard stats of 1 in 4 or 1 in 5,
right.
are aborted. Yeah.
Right. And the greater degree, David, to which we have these pills and these various things,
mm-hmm.
it'll be even harder to track what the true numbers are.
Right.
But if there's a reason why the African-American ethnicity in America is in a decline, it is not because of guys like Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, you can think whatever you want about Zimmerman. And do I think, based on what I know of the case, do I think he acted intelligently that night? No, I think he could have made a lot better choices. You know, I think he put himself in a situation that he probably regrets now. But that really has nothing to do with the issue that we're discussing at hand. You know, there's a bigger issue to be talked about here, and people need to be educated on the realities that are out there.
David, from a legitimate Christian perspective, let's just go out on a limb. Let's just talk about this for just a minute. With the exception, David, of combat operations in which a soldier is attacking and engaging the enemy, really in close combat fighting situation like was described here, a Christian really has no business, David, pulling out a gun and shooting somebody.
No, not at all. You know, like I said, I'm not going to justify that side of things at all.
There has to be a degree, David, to which the Christian trusts in the sovereignty of God.
Right.
And that his days are numbered by God. In the same way that he gets on a plane, but there could be a plane accident. Mm-hmm. He drives down the road, but it could be a fatal accident. He does all these things with the possibility that he could die.
Yeah.
In this situation, because the possibility exists that when I shoot this weapon in this very close proximity, I could kill you, I'm going to have to trust that the Lord will preserve my life in this fight.
Right.
Now, I know that the person out there listening is going, what did you just say? And I can't believe you're saying that. I think it is wise for us to have weapons and be able to defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. David, but I want to use a weapon to defend myself against someone who has a weapon.
Right. Yeah, this is not somebody breaking into my house. You know, he's out on the street. You know, and I'm not. You know, the real gun guys will get upset, and they'll, you know, he should be able to carry whatever he wants. Well, okay, you know, that's the law, and he has the freedom to do that. But I think our perspective is a little different. We're trying to come at this from a biblical perspective.
Right. We're not talking about First Amendment, Second Amendment.
I'm all for your Second Amendment. Right, I don't want to touch it at all.
We're not going down that road.
Yeah.
No, at this point, we're having a conversation about a George Zimmerman who is a Christian, a born-again believer, in love with Jesus, bananas for Christ, and is on community watch and does have a concealed carry permit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that scenario. And for whatever reason, you make these poor choices about following him when you didn't have to and all that, and now you find yourself in a fight.
Right.
Dear Christian, you just need to carry on with the fight.
Yeah.
I don't think that we have any justification.
Yeah, it brings to mind for me, and you know, it's a totally different set of circumstances, but I think there's an application to be made. It makes me think of Jim Elliot and Nate Saint and those guys, you know, down in the Amazon.
Right.
You know, and Jim Elliot's famous quote is, you know, he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. They said, we're not taking guns down there. You know, but they have spears. They'll kill you. Yeah, but we're not taking guns because we know the gospel. We're not going to kill them before they can hear the gospel. And that was the whole idea. And what happened? They were all killed. You know, and what happened is the gospel still ended up getting to those people in an amazing story. But that's really the same idea is, I'm not going to take someone's life before they can hear the gospel.
That's right. And so a born-again George Zimmerman. Yeah, we had a momentary interruption there. That's what happens when you're doing podcasts at churches and there's things that happen. David, a born-again Christian's perspective is, once that guy takes his final breath, there are no more opportunities to repent and believe the gospel.
Right. Yeah, I saw a tweet from somebody today or yesterday, and it's never a light matter to take someone's life, no matter what the situation is. I mean, I think if somebody broke into your house and you were forced to protect your family, it's not a light thing to take somebody's life. And so we've got to make sure we understand the gravity of that situation.
Because from a biblical perspective, listener, that's what we're talking to you about. We're not talking to you from CNN or Fox News or Conservative or Tea Party. We want to talk to you from a biblical perspective. A born-again George Zimmerman, if he loses his life, David, absent from the body, is present with the Lord.
What's the worst-case scenario? Yeah.
And he trusts that, that whatever happened was the will of the Lord, because his days are numbered by his king.
Right.
And that it wasn't his failure to shoot, that and he could have been living longer had he shot and didn't, because God ordains the number of years, months, days, hours, and minutes I live. Now that doesn't mean I don't wear my seatbelt. It doesn't mean I don't pull my reserve when my parachute doesn't deploy. But if I survive, then the means whereby God ordained to sustain my life is the pulling of the reserve parachute.
Right.
Now, that's a difficult concept for people to wrap their brain around, isn't it?
It is. We don't like that. You know, that taking things out of our own hands, that's a little scary.
It seems to suggest that I'm not in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And that me taking vitamins, exercising, eating right, drinking more water and less Mountain Dew, all could give me 5 more years.
Right. Or you could get cancer.
Right. Right. And, you know, the biblical narrative is the king of Israel goes to God and asks for more time, and God grants it to him.
Right.
But it is God who grants him more time.
And so
I think that it is more than appropriate for a Christian to arm themselves and be able to protect themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think that at that moment in which the confrontation is, we shoot to wound. We shoot to create apprehension. We shoot to change the dynamic, to delay time.
Mm-hmm.
We do everything we can to use the weapon that we have to preserve life.
Right.
Whether that be our children's lives, our life, or the life of the opponent, because we recognize that he or she is going to spend eternity in hell.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the most powerful stories I've ever heard of forgiveness happen in situations where the perpetrator is forgiven by the victims and eventually come to Christ. And those kind of, I mean, there's nothing more powerful than that when you hear the stories of the one the drunk driver that takes the life of a teenager, and the parents actually meet with the driver and he comes to Christ through that idea of forgiveness. There's nothing more powerful than that, and it just goes to show that God can save anybody, and who are we to take away those opportunities by being frivolous with firearms or anything else. The thing that's disappointed me a lot in this whole thing is, like you said, we've got a lot of so-called Christian churches that are addressing this in the pulpit and sending out tweets and doing social media with it, and they're shocked and they're outraged. And what came to mind last night is I'd like to see some of them read Matthew 6 and pray for their enemies a little bit. I've seen very little prayer for George Zimmerman. And like I said, I'm not saying that Zimmerman's an innocent man in that sense, or he's above anything else, and he should be a hero. Not at all. But I guarantee you that man needs prayer right now as well. Does the Martin family need prayer? Yeah, absolutely they do. But I think George Zimmerman needs prayer as well. And if we're going to be Christians and we're going to say that, you know, God's justice needs to be served, there's got to be some forgiveness and some prayer that needs to start going on in this debate.
David, I was thrilled with the tweets that were sent out by Trey's family.
Yeah.
I was amazed at what trusting in the Lord.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's what you'll have to determine. And in the same way that we've just said that if Zimmerman trusts in the Lord for the number of days, then as hard as it is to swallow, David, if you lose your boy, Will, at 5 years old, to a freak accident, then that was God's plan.
Yeah.
And that is amazingly difficult to wrap your brain around.
Not easy to swallow. Not at all.
But that's the only place you're going to be able to find true comfort.
Right.
Because Zimmerman spending 30 years in jail doesn't bring back their son.
Not at all. Yeah.
And the question becomes for everyone out there that's just a little bit outraged still about this is, what if you were Zimmerman? And you made a poor choice and then another poor choice, and somehow you discharged your weapon, and once the bullet's out, there's no pulling it back.
Yeah, we could have all been in that situation.
Because the reality is, David, most people who are carrying weapons with concealed permits are not trained to use their weapon in that kind of combat.
Yeah, and we, you know, we make the OJ comparison, and that's what you're hearing on the news and stuff. Yeah, it's a totally different situation.
Right.
And this Zimmerman's not some multimillionaire that's got, you know, there were no Johnny Cochran's and those lawyers up Alan Dershowitz defending him.
No.
He's a regular guy, you know, works a regular job, and his life is never going to be the same.
No, it's utterly ruined.
I mean, if he gets convicted of manslaughter and goes and serves 10 years, does that really change anything? It really doesn't. You know, the tragedy still occurred. The Martin family still has to deal with what they're dealing with. Zimmerman is still going to have to deal with what he has for the rest of his life. Can you imagine applying for a job or a loan or moving to a new community? I mean, what's he going to do?
Think about, David, the number of individuals who have said they're going to kill Zimmerman.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I promise you, there's a lot.
Yeah.
That have said
some famous people on Twitter and whatnot, athletes and entertainers and everything else.
Right, have said some offhand remark. If I ever see that cracker, I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Right. Now just think about that, and Zimmerman has to live in fear for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And he'll never be able to get over the fact that he took a boy's life.
Yeah, this is no victory for him. Yeah, it's. It's tragic in all circumstances.
In every possible way.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing around it. I just want a little bit of a different perspective to be addressed, and I would want some churches out there that are angry with the verdict, and some churches and preachers and pastors, elders and bishops that are exasperated with the system to begin to say, what are we going to do to save all the other trays out there that are being murdered every single day in Chicago, Los Angeles, Detroit, and we could go on naming the cities.
Yeah.
Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And their stories never make it to the headlines. Mm-hmm. Never. No one knows who they are. There's small funerals. Families are left without a son, and they're left with bills to pay the funeral home. It's very, 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 very tragic.
Yeah.
And 50 years from now, when the African-American community is an extreme minority in America, historians are not going to point to the whites who killed the African-Americans off.
Right.
The reality will be the African-American community killed itself.
Yeah. And if we're going to come at it from a biblical perspective, and so many in that community would claim Christianity, it doesn't seem reflecting that in what's actually going on in these cities. I mean, you've mentioned Chicago in sermons before. I mean, it's there are more people dying in Chicago than there are in Afghanistan.
Yep.
You know, it's unbelievable when you look at the numbers. And the great majority of that is crime within the African-American community.
And the president has the time to address the Zimmerman issue, but is saying nothing about the problem in Chicago.
Very interesting.
And now just think about what that says. The president said that if I had a boy, he would have looked a lot like the Martin boy. How many other boys die in Chicago that also would have looked a lot like the president?
Absolutely.
And yet there doesn't seem to be any concern to address that issue. Well, that's our perspective. It's contrary to Fox and CNN, but that's intentional. Because this is the Brian Mike, and at the Brian Mike, we want to do our very best. Not just to report on news, you get that everywhere. Our objective is to bring a biblical perspective to the conversation. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.